If you're looking for a grocery delivery service, then check this out. Instacart delivers groceries in as fast as 1 hour. So save yourself a trip to the market because they have multiple stores available. Shop all of your favorites on one single order. The products you love from your local stores, hand-selected by shoppers based on your preference. I will leave a link to the site in the show notes below. Go follow that and it helps support our show. Knockaround, the original sunglass company. If you follow the link in the show notes below, it lets Knockaround know that we sent you and you get 20% off your first order. Not only that, but it helps support our show. They're practical, stylish sunglasses that start at just $10. Stop spending a fortune on sunglasses that just might break or get lost. For the same price of one of those sunglasses, you can get a pair for the entire week. You'll get 20% off your first order when you follow my link, and free shipping on orders over $50, and free returns if you don't absolutely love them. All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the podcast. This is episode 40. So before we get started and introduce who I have here with me today, by the title, you guys can see that this is going to be Kobe related, and this isn't going to be so much, we'll get into certain details of the death and things like that. But this is more to honor the life of Kobe, the things that he did, the impact that he made on our lives, you know, the things that we remember about him. And, you know, we say Kobe because, you know, that's the most recognizable face. That's the people that we know. But before we get started, you know, I don't want to forget about the people that were involved and all parties that were affected by it. So I'm just going to read a list of the people that were lost on that day in that helicopter crash. You guys, of course, know about Kobe Bryant, his daughter, Gianna Bryant, John Altobelli, his wife, Carrie Altobelli, and Alyssa Altobelli, which was his daughter. He was the baseball coach. Sarah Chester and Peyton Chester, that's mom and daughter. Christina Mazur, which is the assistant basketball coach, and Ara Zobayan, which was the pilot with 20 years experience, and he was preferred by Kobe Bryant. So anyone that was involved or affected by it, you know, we send blessings your way, and just wanted to go ahead and mention those lost souls as well before we dive into Kobe Bryant. So Corey's back in the studio. What's going on, Corey?
Hello, everybody. It's been a long time coming back. You know what I mean? It feels like it's been forever since I've been back here. It's probably been, what you think?
Oh man, it's been too long. I don't know. It's been a while for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I feel honored to come back and talk about Kobe Bryant. And, you know, this is someone that I grew up on. I know Alex grew up on, you know, we're the same age and graduated the same year in high school. And I know Kobe Bryant, how he impacted our era of basketball, you know. So, Alex.
Oh, man, it's hard because, full honesty, okay. When growing up, I've always been a huge Orlando Magic fan. And it was sad to see when Shaq chose the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Over the Magic, and it was over, you know, it was our fault. The more details you get into it, we just didn't want to pay him. But there was always that resentment. So there was always like a part of me that rooted for the Lakers just because I wanted to see Shaq do good. But then at the same time, it was fresh of comparison to Kobe Bryant, to Michael Jordan. And I didn't want to, you know, I was a kid. I was hating. I was like, no. So I hated on Bryant through his early career. And then as I got older and as he continued to play, I started realizing that there's not going to be many talented people like Kobe Bryant that I will get to see in my lifetime and that this league will be, you know, get to see. And so I started appreciating his game. I started enjoying the games that he played. And it was probably after 07, 08, around there when I was like, you know what? I gotta really enjoy Kobe Bryant and the game and everything, because everything before that was just, I was hating on him.
Well, because the thing is, he won at an early age.
Yeah.
He won a lot at their early age. So of course you're going to hate him because he's either kicking your team's ass or someone else's ass in the championship. And it's funny that you say that because a lot of people say, you know, Kobe Bryant later on, you know, when he got to that, you know, 07, 08 years, that's when people started appreciating him more. in his game. You know, when he came back for the redeem team, that was a big thing. Because he was the first, well, we lost in 2004, I believe, right?
To the Pistons?
No, I'm talking about the USA basketball
team. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We lost in 04, and Kobe Bryant was the first major superstar to come out and say, you know what, we're going to win this, and I'm going to join the team.
Right.
Because it got to a point where we're kicking everyone's ass, where we didn't have to send the dream team anymore. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to send the top five players in the lead anymore, and we're sending the all-stars of the lead. Guys that were good, make the all-star game, they'll go. And they'll still win the gold. But 2004, I think we took fourth place that year. I think we lost a third place game to, jeez. I might be wrong in this, but I believe it was Argentina.
Yeah. Well, that was in Ginobili was good. And they had a good team.
They had Ginobili. And I believe, I might be switching it up. Either Argentina or Spain won that year. Did Greece, I don't remember who
Greece
won.
Greece was good too, yeah.
I don't remember who won, but Kobe Bryant was the first superstar to come out and say, you know, I'm going to come back and help out this team. And that's when people started appreciating Kobe because we're, you know, years from the rape case, you know, years from him winning the championship. And he's doing these great things. You know, he's barely getting the team into playoffs. You know, these years, I think the Lakers won 35 games 1 year, 42, 8 seed, 8 seed, eliminated the first round by the Suns 2 years in a row. And that 08 season, I think it changed, you know, people's perspective of Kobe Bryant. And that's when, you know, people outside of being Laker fans or being in LA started really liking Kobe Bryant when he stepped up and decided to join the redeem team.
You know, so I was watching the memorial that they did because tonight was the night, the 20th of January. This was the night that they were going to do the Clippers and Lakers game and they postponed it. They pushed it back because the Laker organization was still mourning the death of Kobe Bryant. And they did, for an hour, they did a memorial with Shaq, Kenny, Reggie was there, Reggie Miller, Jerry West was there, Charles Barkley, of course, and they just kind of told stories. But one of the stories that stuck with me was Dwayne Wade's story. Dwayne Wade said that his first year in the league, he got 10 games into his rookie year. Mm-hmm. They played the Lakers in Staples Center. And he said that, he named three idols that he had. It was like obviously Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and I can't remember the third person. But he said that 10 games into my rookie season, I got to play Kobe. And so...
did they have Shaq on that team?
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah, he said I was playing against Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and...
Oh, so this is before Shaq went over to Miami.
Yes, this is right before, yeah. This is the year before. And so he was saying that somewhere in the game, Kobe's coming in transition. He's this first chance to guard Kobe Bryant. He said he's scared, but he's like, I just kept thinking like, okay, I've watched him a million times. I know his moves. I know what he's going to do. And so he ended up ripping him and he was taken to the basket. But then he was like, if I don't finish this, it doesn't matter. So he finishes the basket and then he told Kobe Bryant about it. Like he said in 2016, Kobe Bryant didn't remember it because of course he was like, he didn't remember because it wasn't significant to him. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like I got a chance to rip one of my idols. So the point of it was he said that was the significant thing. Then in 08, he went and was on the team with Kobe Bryant with the Olympic for the US team. And it was sometime in the morning or at night, he went to go hit the weight room. And of course, Kobe was there because he outworks everybody. He said he was on one end of the gym and Dwayne Wade was on the other end of the gym. And then so he started lifting and it was towards the end of his workout where Kobe came over and he said something to him. But then like the next day they were doing basketball training and the coach had him do like, they were holding themselves up in a bar or they were doing something like that. And he's like, I was next to Kobe. And he said, it was his competitive nature, my competitive nature. We just held like that. So by the end of it, Kobe looks at him and goes, you know, you're just like me. Mm-hmm. He said, to me, that made my entire world because there was only one person in this league when I joined or when I was getting ready to join that I wanted the approval of, and that was Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And I got that. He said, to see him look at me eye to eye and look at me and treat me as his equal, he said, meant the world to me.
Yeah. And you know what? Jay Williams actually has a kind of similar story to that. And he speaks about when he was rookie year for the Bulls. His only year in the league. He went to go play against the Lakers in LA and he went to go put up a couple shots before the game. And he shows up to the arena 4 hours early. And guess who's there? Kobe Bryant. He's over there working out and game speed, going full speed to the basket, full speed to the shot. And so Jay Williams gets there. So, wow, Kobe's there. So they're on the opposite side of the court, and they're shooting around. You know, this is 4 hours for the game, so they're shooting around, and Jay Williams does his 2 hours. He looks over Kobe Bryant, still going full speed. And so Jay Williams goes up to him, and he just wants to acknowledge him. And he says, wow. He's like, this is your regimen. This is what you do before the games. He's like, no, that's when I want you to know that I can outwork you.
Yeah.
I want to stay in here long enough for you to understand that I can outwork you.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I stayed in here.
I heard that. That's so that freaking long. Great, right?
And that's what makes Kobe Bryant so great. That he's a, you know, a technician of the game. And, you know, he understands it. And the mental warfare for him was just as strong as the reality.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's in your head. When you see a guy putting up shots for 3 hours before the game and just going full speed and you're sitting there shooting free throws, that mental warfare is just really fucking with you. And that's what Kobe Bryant did. The mental warfare was just as tough as the reality, you know?
Well, I remember Kobe said that he would do 1,000 shots a day and they had to be made. It wasn't 1,000, it was 1,000 made shots, 500 in the morning, and then he'd go back 500. And, you know, for a lot of people that I don't know, he would travel by a helicopter because he wanted to spend more time with his family. Mm-hmm. He knew that he worked hard and he knew that he spent a lot of time in the gym. So he didn't want to waste time in traffic and traveling to the arena. So he'd travel by helicopter so he can stay with them to the last possible moment before he had to go be great, you know, mm-hmm. be the Kobe that we know.
Yeah.
And that story you talk about, Jay Williams, is so many people, I think in today's era, would look at that and take it as a cocky, maybe even a disrespect in that kind of manner. But I see it from that aspect where it's like, dang, like this guy was literally in here to show me that he's going to outwork me because no one outworks him.
Well, like, when you're a leader of men, it's going to come off that way.
Yeah.
You know, he's leading this new era is Kobe Bryant's seed of basketball players.
Right.
The reason why they're that good is because Kobe Bryant worked that hard and they had to work that hard to get that good. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Tiger Woods. You know what I mean? He's the seed of these new golfers. You know what I mean? So it sounds cocky, but when you're a leader, what else are you going to say? You know, being a productive leader and how efficient Kobe Bryant was with everything that he did, you know, he's going to sound that way. Because he's not equal to us.
Oh, no.
He's not equal to us. He's not the guy who's going to put up 200 shots. He's going to see the guy that puts up 200 shots, and he's going to put up triple that.
Right.
Four times that. And when I go talk to that guy who puts up four times that, he's not going to sound like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think a lot of people don't understand that work ethic. And I think it could, from what I hear, it's so legendary that you have to see it to believe it, you know? And the fact that he maintained that through majority of his life, he was playing basketball in the NBA longer than he was like, wasn't. I think he joined at 17. And I think they said he played for like 19 years.
Played 20 years.
20 years. Okay. So he was more in the league than he was out of it. And the fact that we got a chance to see his game develop from that Afro number 8 Kobe that we knew that was just favorite. Showtime. Oh man, I know that.
If someone had
to the like, architect, me, the Black yeah. Mamba number 24. You know what I mean?
Someone had to break it down to me and say, if you had to pick 8 or 24, I loved 8. You know, 8 mm-hmm. with the Afro and the defender he was, and God, number 8 was my favorite player. Yeah, 24. You know what he grew into. It's just beautiful.
One above him. Jordan is what he said. That's why he went 24.
What he grew into. He is the clone of Jordan. He's the closest thing you can get to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But 24 was just, you know, the completion of who he was. You know what I mean? For him to grow and get to that point of where he wanted to go without Shaq, that was 24. To win a title when he is the man of the team, that was 24. But 8, I love number 8 because that journey for number 8 was such a beautiful journey. And to see the success at a young age, people forget he made the All-Star game his second year in the league.
Wow.
The All-Star, his second year in the league, he was on the All-Star team. And that's when he won one against Jordan. And that's when the legendary trash talking started and whatnot. But second year lead, he made the All-Star game. Then he won three. I think he won his first championship when he was 21.
Yeah, because he joined the league in 96, drafted by Charlotte, then traded.
Then they go four in a row.
Three in a row.
Three in a row, but they made the four championships in a row.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Spurs.
No, they made it four straight.
Jeez.
And they lost.
Well, I'll tell you what, my greatest memories of Kobe came when he was wearing that number 8 jersey. Some of the greatest games to this day that I've seen. And I told your brother this. Michael Jordan was, we got a chance to see Michael Jordan, but we got a chance to see Michael Jordan at the tail end of his career. Right? We're not old enough to enjoy when Jordan was that young buck going against Bird in the 80s and coming into his own in the early 90s. You know what I mean?
He got his ass kicked, yeah.
And so for our generation, and I told him, I said, Kobe was that. We watched Kobe and understood his game more than we did with Jordan because we got to see Jordan, like actually see it. Not as a kid where you're seeing it, you're not really understanding everything that's going on. You just see how he's flying and he's doing all this. Really understand the game. We got to see Kobe more than Jordan, and we got to see how, you said, the equal that they are and the similarities that they shared is amazing. That's why I would pick Kobe over LeBron. I would pick Kobe over, you know, KD. A lot of these guys now, I'd pick, because you can't deny the greatness that he was. But going back to like my favorite games were those series against Sacramento. You know, mm-hmm. the passion that there was, the competitiveness, the just obviously the outcomes because they were so close. But Sacramento was a lost dynasty because mm-hmm. of the Lakers. If it wasn't for the Lakers, Sacramento would have had easily two. Yeah.
No, you're right. But it's all about the journey. You know, LeBron's journey is totally different. Jordan's journey is totally different from Kobe Bryant. He had a beautiful journey. I remember this guy was a bodybuilder. I was watching a documentary. His name was Jay Cutler. And he went up against this guy named Ronnie Coleman, who was like the best bodybuilder of all time. Just fucking won like, I think, 8 or 9 Mr. Olympias. Mr. Olympia is like the Super Bowl bodybuilding. And Jay Cutler went up against him when he was young. And he got second place like 4 or 5 years in a row against this guy. Then he finally beat Ronnie Coleman. And the first time he beat him, then he ended up winning like 5. And Ronnie Coleman finished with 9 or 11. But he was like, I'm the greatest because it's not how many I've won, but it's the fashion that I won it in.
Right.
And that's why I think, you know, Kobe Bryant's ring, everyone's rings are different. You know, like Jordan won 6. He won 6 with Scottie Pippen. Kobe Bryant won 3 with Shaq. And then everything changed. Shaq left. He had to find a new self, changed his jersey number, shaved his head, you know, and then got Pau Gasol and went on. They went 3 straight. He won 2 out of 3. Just the fashion that he wanted in.
Yeah, they beat
and
my team.
And if you think the way they beat the Celtics, okay, the Celtics beat them the first time they played in the finals. That was like, what, 08?
07.
07, 08 season. 07, 08.
Yes, because we played him in 08, 09.
Yeah, yeah.
Magic.
Yeah, 07, 08 season. And I think Celtics got him in 6, 4-2. And they won on the Lakers floor, if I might be.
They did.
They won on Lakers floor. And I remember like being so passionate, being a huge Kobe Bryant. It's like so disappointing that shit. Next year, we come. And Kobe Bryant, he won the MVP that year. That was the same year they won the gold medal. So the only one who did the triple crown like that was Michael Jordan to win the gold medal, the MVP, and the
NBA
finals. He was the only one to do that triple crown, and I thought Kobe Bryant was going to do it that year. He didn't do it. Disappointing. Next year, you know, kicked the Orlando's ass. And the next year, he played against the Celtics again. This is a rematch. And this is when I talk about the fashion that you win it in. Game 7. Kobe Bryant's not shooting good. This is real basketball. This is basketball that's in the, you know, the high 80s, you know, early 90s. You know what I mean? Like the points.
88, yeah,
this is 92. Was, yeah. This is all defense. Corey Bryant's shot wasn't going in, but he was fucking locking down. I believe he ended up with like 17 rebounds. This guy was rebounding the ball, defending the ball, playing his fucking ass off. And game 7. On the Lakers floor, against the Lakers' biggest rivals, one of the biggest rivals in all sports, playing against them, playing against a team that beat you 2 years prior to that, and beating them in game seven on your own floor, just sacrificing your body and sweating. I remember watching that game with one of my buddies at Anijah. We're living at this shitty apartment, Sun Village. We're watching this game, and everyone was outside watching this fucking game, watching Kobe Bryant just get rebounds and him just being at the top of his game. And I think that was like, of course, that was the last year he made a finals, but I think that was the last year where he was like there. You know what I mean?
You think so? Like top of the list of everything? Is that what you're talking about?
That last year he was the best.
Yeah.
In the league.
Right.
I think it was that year.
I mean, it's hard to remember.
Next year they went and they got smoked by the Oklahoma City Thunder, like second round or something like that.
Because the next year that's when they played us in the finals and they beat us 4-1.
No. We played you guys. It went Celtics, Orlando, then Celtics.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
The next year we played against Orlando, Thunder, right. And this is when Westbrook and Durant played against LeBron, Miami's Heat.
No,
it wasn't Heat. Who did they lose to next year?
Oh, no, they lost to the Mavericks. That's when Dirk
Nowitzki. That's when they lost the first round to the Mavericks.
Dirk Nowitzki got his first.
Then they played against LeBron because we never had that LeBron Kobe finals.
Mm-mm.
And that's what, you know, we could have had if the Cavs would have beat the Magic that year. But
you know, we took out the. That's kind of how I felt about like the Titans this year because we had taken out the Boston Celtics the round before that. So to me, you can't take out the Celtics and then lose to the Cavs, right? Cavs were number one that year, but let's be honest, Celtics were the better team than the Cavs. Didn't have, they had Gibson, they had Delonte, they had all these like no-namers, right? So LeBron's pretty much carrying the team. So I didn't think we would lose, and we won, which is good. And we went on, and I even thought that we had a chance to win the series against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. It came down to game one. Do you remember at the end of the game, we threw the alley-oop to Courtney Lee? Mm-hmm. And he missed it. It wide open alley-oop and he missed it. After that, there was a certain, we started playing different. Like we didn't have that same confidence that we did going in. And it just goes to show you the difference in preparation. Leadership won, right? We didn't really have a leader. I mean, we had Vince Carter, but
yeah.
He wasn't trying to lead anybody. Or Rashard Lewis wasn't trying to lead nobody. Jimmy Nelson's young. Dwight Howard was young-minded, you know? So we didn't have the leader. Like Kobe Bryant just goes to show you a good leader. Kobe Bryant, whenever things get rough, he keeps them in the game, keeps them focused. Like it's just one game. We can bounce back. We never really bounce back from that. And this just goes to show the group. Like we try to do things. Remember, Barnes tried to throw the ball at him. Kobe didn't flinch. Like Kobe was just in Mamba mode. You know what I mean? Like that mentality is real.
Yeah. And he was a different breed. So what do they call it nowadays when the players take time off, what are you, body rest or whatever?
A sabbatical.
No, when the NBA players, like, I'm just going to take a day or two off.
Oh, like when they rest?
Yeah.
For a game?
What the hell they call it? It's like a term they have now.
I didn't know.
Yeah, but like Kobe Bryant didn't do that. And the thing with Kobe Bryant, this guy was a 12-time all-defensive team, 9-time all-first defensive team. He was the only, and Kawhi Leonard's probably going to pass this, actually, because Kawhi Leonard's not a shooting guard. So he was the only guard to be, because Jordan was never 9-time all-first team. I think he was 7 or 8. Kobe Bryant probably should have had a defensive player every year. He was 9-time all-first defensive team because you know what he did in the fourth quarter or even all four quarters was guard your best player.
I know. That's something you don't see nowadays.
And you know what players do is like, okay, I'm LeBron. Hey, well, I have this guy that's a forward and we drafted him for defense, so he's going to guard the Kobe Bryant.
And
I'm going to be not guarding this guy, so I can just be more efficient on offense.
And that's what I miss the most. That's Harden. That's Westbrook. That's most people. That's why I enjoy Paul George, because Paul George will guard anyone, and he can guard anyone. Not only can he put up points, but he's your complete player. That's something that Kobe
was. I'm not that big on Paul George, just like a lot of people are. Like I know that he's an all-star.
Do you say that because he chose the Clippers over the Lakers?
Not even. I was never big on this guy. He's an all-star. He's not a superstar.
Oh, I agree. I agree with
that. He won't ever get to that level. Even if they have a really good chance of winning a championship this year. And it's not because of Paul George.
Well, he does his part. like him and Kawhi Leonard do, they make it work, which is weird because when I saw the experiment in Oklahoma, I didn't think it was going to work, but they make it work.
KD made it work in Oklahoma. It just shows you what a superstar and all-star is.
That's true.
When you put KD and Russ, they can at least attempt to, well, they, let's say this, they can win a playoff series. You put KD and the guy, Paul George, which is a really good all-star, really good player, not on that same level.
Right.
Not on the same level. If you had KD and Kawhi, you can just kiss the ring goodbye, just like we did Golden State for the last 5 years, you know? But, you know, with KD and Paul George, it makes it competitive.
Mm-hmm.
He had some good series when he played with Indiana, and they played tough. But he's not a superstar to me.
Yeah, they had a good team. They had a good team with Stevenson.
But I do appreciate his game. I do like his game.
Yeah. I think, too,
he doesn't have that Mamba mentality.
No, and no one does.
Luka.
I still don't think so either. But I don't watch
him. Luka Doncic doesn't have the Mamba mentality?
I don't know, man.
I don't
watch him enough to say, I guess. If I was going to say anyone has that kind of mentality, I mean, I don't even know.
Because Luka has, give me the ball. I want the ball in the fourth quarter.
But it's work ethic. It's like everything. It's just everything. And I don't.
So you don't think this 20-year-old kid who's just destroying any record they're saying that he was better than LeBron at this age.
Yeah, people can be talented though, you know. And I'm not saying work hard. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
You tell this guy works hard. When someone's talented, they're like athletic as shit. They run fast. They either talented at one thing. This guy has an all around game.
Well, there hasn't been enough, I don't think there's been enough time because we hear stories like Kobe Bryant would call like Reggie Miller and ask Reggie Miller, like, okay, what are you saying about Michael Jordan? And what are you guys trash talking? And when he does this, what is he saying? Like, so he's like trying to learn every little bit in detail of like something that he sees on TV by watching. I don't see any of these guys doing any of this. And that to me is the Mamba mentality. You know what I'm saying?
If I had to say one person and bet my money on it and just seeing I was huge on Luka before he was even drafted.
Yeah, I think you were like the only one that was talking about this kid. Everyone was talking trash,
but I was like, no, I think this guy has something because you know what? He's not that athletic, but he works hard. He understands basketball. He understands angles. Dude, this guy's not the most athletic guy on the floor, but he's still beating guys that are 10 times more athletic than him and dunking on him.
Yeah.
Because you know what that reason is? It's hard work and being a student of the game.
Right.
And that's 2 points of mom mentality. So he has the structure and the foundation that, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know what I mean? That mama mentality of like working hard, understanding the game and letting the game come to him and wanting the ball in the fourth quarter, which like LeBron moved away from early in his career.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't want that. Luka wants that and he's so young.
And it's weird.
Where does that come from? That doesn't come from Jordan. He's too young for Jordan. It comes from Kobe. That's that
mama mentality. It has to. But that's what I'm talking about. That's how we grew up. If you are the best player or the best defender, you guard their best player. We don't see that in the NBA nowadays. You are the best shooter or you are just the leader of the team. You're commanding the ball at the end of the game, right? Whether you're going to set up the offense and pass, you're going to shoot, whatever it is, the ball is going through you, right? We don't get enough of that nowadays. You give it to people like Harden, you know, and he's a good shooter and everything, but he's not, you know what I'm saying?
See, the game is more free-flowing nowadays. So back in the day, it was structured in a way like your point guard dribbles the ball up court, your center posts up, your forward posts up, your shooting guard, he's the shooter, then you have the shooting guard, your shooter, and he can slash, and maybe they switched to the forward can shoot and slash, or the shooting guard's a three-point shooter. And it was structured in that way where you didn't want too many slashers on the court at once. You wanted a shooter, you wanted a guy who can post, want a guy who had defense that can rebound, and you want a guy who can bring up the ball. The game's free-flowing. It's like, yeah, we'll put on like four small forwards in a game right now, and we have all shooters.
But that's what bothers me about it, too. That's a gift and a curse because, yeah, we get to see a lot more action, a lot more slashes, a lot more showtime kind of basketball. But there's no defense. And some guys are talented to the point where they get past the defense, but because the best defenders aren't guarding the best offensive player on the other team, because they're saving their energy for offense.
Kawhi Leonard does it.
Kawhi's the only one, though. Paul George, he's another guy. That's why I give him the credit.
Kawhi Leonard guards the best player. Paul George will go to second.
Steph will guard who he can guard because he's a little skinnier and shorter. He's small, right? Russell Westbrook never guards their best. Like, because he's tall enough to guard like a shooting guard. And if that's the guy who has the ball at the end of the game, he's guarding some schmuck and letting someone else guard him because he's trying to save himself for offense. And Harden does the same thing. A lot of these players do the same thing.
Do you know what an interesting stat about Harden? He led the league in steals last year.
Yeah. He also led the league in free throws.
No, but you said that he didn't have good defense, but he led the league in steals last year.
Well, okay, if you're guarding, he's not guarding the best players. If he's guarding some schmuck and they end up with the ball, you're telling me he can't rip that person or get through a screen?
No, he's playing the passing lane. So it's a gamble.
Yeah.
It's like if I'm playing roulette and I'm putting, you know, all my money on black every time, eventually it's going to hit red, right? So like he's playing the passing lane. He's going to get a couple steals, but he's going to eventually get beat.
Yeah.
That's why he gets beat a lot.
Yeah, because what ended up happening? What does he have to show for it? He has no championship. You know what I'm saying? Something's not working.
You know what? 2 years ago,
they had it.
They would have won that year. That was their year to win it with Chris Paul.
If they could have beaten Golden State, which they were winning 3-1.
Chris Paul got injured.
But he got injured. It was 3-2, and then he got injured in that other game. So then
no, he didn't get injured in three. When it was 3-2, got injured.
That's what I'm saying.
And then game
and then it was 7, 3-3, and then he missed.
They were up like 20 at half.
Yeah, I know.
And then all of a sudden, the Golden State Warriors just came back.
But I'm saying, everyone says like, oh, it's 3-1, and then he got hurt. It's like, no, Chris Paul didn't get hurt when it was 3-1. Golden State won 1. It was 3-2, and then he got hurt in the 3-2 game. And then in that game, they tied it 3-3, and then he missed. And, you know, it sucks. Shit happened, right? Yeah. But, yeah, they could have done it. I think they could have done it. Just because I think LeBron with Cleveland, they shouldn't have won that year. Good. I mean, they did. Good thing for LeBron, I guess, because he left and gave them a championship, but... You said no one's journey is the same. And as far as like Kobe goes, there was a story that Jerry West just said today that when all that stuff went down with Shaq, they traded him and everything. But when it was all over, he told him, I have a deal in place with the Clippers. And he was going to go to the Clippers and he was going to leave the Lakers. And Jerry West was like, no, that's the worst mistake you made. Don't do that. Like, you don't want to play for that owner. You don't want to play for the owner, which is the same owner that ended up being the racist dude, you know. Mm-hmm. You talk about different journeys. LeBron bounced around. And I'm not saying you got to stay with one team, right? But it's surprising that LeBron didn't stay with Cleveland, like, because he has ties to the city. Kobe Bryant, being a Philly boy, he, with all shit, was against the wall and he was furious and everything. He stuck with the organization, won two more. And ultimately, they're saying he was, like, probably the best Laker ever.
Yeah. Well, he was in Philly for 4 years.
Who?
Kobe.
What do you mean?
You said being a Philly boy. He went to high school in Philly, Philadelphia.
That's where he came out of, yeah.
Yeah, he came out of Philly. I don't think.
I mean, he was an Eagle fan. He still reps Philly, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Philadelphia doesn't rep him. I don't feel Kobe Bryant like being part of Philadelphia because he's so much like an LA guy.
That's what I'm saying. The fact that he was able to change that mentality, right? I'm an LA guy. You would think that he was born bred LA because of how. He just loved the organization, the city, everything about it, you know?
Well, like California, like the city of dreams, you know, like Tupac went out there and became LA and he was born in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Or
Baltimore, yeah.
He's born in Baltimore.
Well, Maryland, yeah.
Yeah, he was born in Baltimore and he became like LA reps Tupac. Mm-hmm. And it's like the same way as Kobe, you know, like they adopt people in the city of angels. Like Kobe Bryant is one of their adopted sons.
But you know what's crazy about him? It's not like he adopted the culture of LA, I think he molded the culture of LA. That's what's crazy. An outsider came in and he gave back culture-wise to LA. And a lot of people, they don't leave their mark like that. Like, you think of people who've stayed with their organizations all their career, like Eli Manning, right? He didn't take any culture there. He didn't do anything, right? But Kobe realistically turned LA into this culture thing. And then he became where he just had his hands in everything.
You're right.
And then he wanted to expand his mind in that. He started going over to Spain and start repping like Barcelona, start like Real Madrid and Roma and AC Milan. And he started getting his hands into soccer. Like he's just was, He just loved, I think, anything sports and athletics.
He was a universal guy. Is there some type of music playing in the background?
There was a clock. That's what it was. Oh, okay. You were hearing a clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Nah, he's just a universal guy. But just going back to journeys, you know, I think his journey was beautiful. And they say it so much that we saw Kobe Bryant grow up in our eyes. You know, going from a young guy who might have been, you know, his shoes might have been too big for his feet, you know, starting off. And but him still taking those shots against Utah, you know, it was a playoff game, actually. And they ended up losing by, I think, single digits. And he took the last three shots, and it was all air balls.
Yeah.
And those shots probably weren't drawn up for him. And then the next year, just growing into being like an all-star. And then the year after that, having a good season. And then the year after that, and him and Shaq just winning finals. And then final. And then final. And then growing pains now. Him and Shaq not getting along. They pick up two veteran players. Just like, honestly, like the first, like, not the first super team, but the first, like, free agent super team.
You're talking about, yeah, like, Rick Fox?
No, when they picked up Gary Payton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They didn't win that year, but yeah, that was like the first, like,
they made the finals. Team, yeah. And you just see the whole, everything just fall apart like dominoes during the game. You know, they're playing against the Pistons and they should have won that.
I don't know, man. The Pistons were good. Pistons were good.
It was an interesting fact about that. That was the only NBA team to win it without a first, well, no, not a first round draft pick, or without an all-star on the team.
Yeah. Something crazy. Without an all-star on the team. But they had. And then it was like no one was averaging more than X amount of points too. But they were good, man.
Oh yeah, they're a really good team. But like the scene, that whole debacle and everything just like crumbled down after that. And then Shaq being traded and everything in the news. Shaq goes to Miami.
And he wins one.
And he wins one right away. And LA is like, do we pick the right guy? And we're just like unsure, like, is Kobe Bryant gonna lead us to the promised land? And, you know, Miami's just being competitive now.
And at that time, I remember thinking they chose wrong. Like, you have Shaq and you let him go. Because Shaq was considered at that time one of the best centers.
What's the age gap?
Six years. Okay. Shaq is 6 years older than Kobe.
Shaq was still in his prime. And he actually probably won MVP that year. When he went to Miami.
Well, he was averaging like 30-something in the finals. You know, like he was ridiculous numbers.
With Miami or with?
No, with the Lakers.
Lakers, okay, yeah,
with
Lakers, okay. Yeah.
No, with Miami, he was more like 23, I think, 22 points. But no, that was Dwayne Wade's team.
Yeah, no, but during the season, they said Shaq should have won the MVP that year.
Miami?
Yeah.
I don't remember the stats of that year.
He didn't play a lot of games. This is what they do now. I forgot what's the word. They have a word for it. Like when the players rest every other game. That's what Kawhi was doing last year. Like every other couple games, a rest, or they don't play too much.
Well, Kawhi was hurt. I don't remember him ever taking.
No, he was not hurt last year. It's called what?
I don't remember ever him taking a break.
Last year, he didn't never play two games in a row. If they played back to back, he didn't play the back to back.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I forget what it's called. They have a term of it now, but.
And it's different because you look at Kobe, the way he was built, he's training nonstop, he's playing every game. Freaking, one of the memories I'll have of him, tears his Achilles, gets up, shoots two free throws.
See, that was when he turned into Mamba.
He was Mamba before that, because that was 2013 when he tore his Achilles.
Of course he was Mamba before that, but that wasn't Afro Kobe. Like, Mamba Kobe.
Ah, man, that dude
Mamba Kobe, you know, like, he turned it on when he deserved to win those two MVPs that Nash took from him.
He came back a year early. It was like 9 months earlier or something like that, because he worked hard in rehab to get himself where he needed to be.
And that might have not been the best decision, but...
Well, he didn't re-suffer. He didn't re-aggravate it.
No, but he's never was the same after that.
Paul George hasn't been the same since he broke his leg trying to dunk the ball.
No, actually, if you look at his stats, it's pretty similar.
I'm not talking about stat-wise. We looked at Paul George as in terms of on the verge of a superstar. You just said it. We don't look at him as a superstar because his game is not
that. I never thought of him as a superstar. I thought he was around a good system in Indiana.
With Frank Vogel down
there? He had a good system. He had a good team. He had a lot of good guys around him.
I don't know.
I didn't think he was going to be a
superstar. I'll tell you what, though.
He wasn't going to be no KD. Or LeBron.
Again, there's not a lot of KDs. There's not a lot of LeBrons.
But that's what they're called, superstars. There's plenty of all stars. There's only a couple superstars.
Right.
That's how you like.
But you have to compare it within the generations, I think, because there's always been superstars at certain positions for like every era, 80s, 90s. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Who's a superstar to you in the 80s?
Right. 90s, in the 90s, in the 90s, 90s, obviously Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, even in the 90s, because he went all the way to about 96. So you take his earlier, Shaquille O'Neal. Let's see. I want to say Gary Payton, but
no, he was an all-star.
And I'm kind of back and forth with Scottie Pippen as far as a superstar. He's an all-star. But I think ultimately he was an all-star. I think I'm trying to pick five. So I said Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, Would you consider David Robinson a superstar at that time at center? No. Who else? Okay, we'll stick with those four. I can't think of one more. Well, would you agree with that list, though?
Yeah, that's a good list, but you really, there's a couple more you probably could have said, but you see how small that list is.
Oh, yeah.
And you're trying to throw Paul George into that list?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because like right now, who would you think? KD?
That's crazy.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Would you throw Steph in there?
Steph Curry, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So there's three. Who else would you consider?
Right now?
Like Anthony Davis, would you consider him a superstar or all-star?
He's on that growing right now.
Like border, right? So we have three.
Paul George is never even close to Anthony Davis.
Let's do two more, though.
Paul George is never even close to what Anthony Davis was.
No, but let's do two more to make five. That's what I'm saying. Like it's hard.
Giannis is a superstar. He hasn't won a championship yet, but trust me, this is a guy who's changing a culture and an environment and organization.
Okay, I'll agree with you because he can't shoot the ball and he's doing all this without being able to shoot.
The shot's gotten better. You know what I mean? This guy's not Steph Curry, but
yeah, well, he's not.
He's not Shaq, but you know what I mean? He's still can shoot the ball.
And then who would be our fifth?
You know,
would you consider Damian Lillard a superstar?
No. James Harden's almost there, and I would say Luka Doncic is almost there too. I'll guarantee you, Luka Doncic next year at this time will be a superstar. This guy, what he's doing at his age of 20, this dude ain't 31. James Harden is what, 31, 32. He's doing it at 20.
Yeah, it's insane.
You can't even think about it. What he's doing at 20 years old. And at the pace that he plays at, like when coaches teach you angles, like, hey, there's angles that you can take to score the basketball without being the fastest player in the court. Like you have a guy like Russ who needs to go 0 to 100 to beat this guy and dunk on someone. This guy is going like 25 miles per hour the whole time and beats this guy and either alley-oops to someone or dunks on someone, you know?
Let me ask you this. How many people nowadays in today's game do you think were influenced by Kobe Bryant one way or another? Like, or influence their game being influenced by Kobe Bryant.
Probably 40%.
At least, right? Because they all grew up watching him. They're all taking something from whether they say it or not.
Well, are you asking like NBA players, college players? How's this?
NBA, because college players, I mean, it's hard to see high school and all that, but I'm talking NBA, people that we can actually see. You know, they all have a Kobe story, of course. Everyone has a Kobe story, but like in the game.
I think Kobe Bryant's the most like influenced player in the league right now. Prior to his death, I think he was more influential than LeBron James or whoever else you would say.
Right. I don't know.
But I'm saying he was his game. And what his approach to the game.
But I see it's hard because I look at when I think of Kobe, I think of the complete package. I think of the leader. I think of the game. I think of preparation, everything. Well, LeBron to me isn't a leader. I don't look at him as a leader. Well, he does leadership things and he has leadership qualities, but I don't see him as such. Well, you know,
LeBron was the kid on the team. He was a young guy. He was the chosen one. Mm-hmm. He came to lead at 18 and he was like, Kobe Bryant was actually the first chosen one, but LeBron was the chosen one, and he was always a young guy on the team. even in 08, when he played with Kobe Bryant and the Redeem Team, he was a young guy. Him and KD, you know, the young guys.
But that's what I mean. Like
LeBron didn't get that leadership. And even when he played in Miami, you know, Wade, that
he
first
He definitely year, wasn't leader in Miami.
No, he wasn't.
He was happy taking the back seat.
The last 2 years he was, because that team, he carried that team on their back.
As a player, I don't think he was a leader, though. That's what I'm saying. Even when he went back to Cleveland, he was tired of being a leader. He didn't want to lead guys that were shitty. And we don't know all the backstory if the organization wasn't willing to work with him.
Cleveland after
I'm saying about the first time, sorry. In this terms. Like he didn't want to lead. That's why he left.
He was young.
Right. And he went back.
He was young.
Even when he went back, I started to feel like his body language and everything was saying like the same thing the first time. Like I don't get leadership qualities from him when I think of LeBron. I don't get that a lot of people though. It's like you said, it separates the difference. And that's what I'm talking about, like the mentality. That's why to me, Luka, he's a good player, right? And you hit it. When you said he's not athletic, he's not really this, but he's good. So there's got to be something that he's doing.
See, the problem with LeBron.
But to me, his game looks more like Dirk Nowitzki's than his name's to me.
The problem with LeBron, he's such a scientist of basketball that he has a standard that guys don't live up to.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's like, I think LeBron has in his career like over like 87 trades for the teams that he's on. Because he's constantly trying to like find like the guy that he
LeBron
wants.
The GM, yeah.
Yeah, no, because his intellect at basketball is so high up. He can't play with you if you can't play at that same level.
Right.
So he's not a leader in that aspect because after Miami, he's a win now guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to teach young guys to play and, 3 years from now, we're going to win a championship. He's a win now guy. That's the reason why the Lakers got rid of second round pick or second overall picks to get AD because he's a win now guy. He needs to play with the guy who has the same type of intellect at basketball as him. His standard is so fucking high. And like, it's a leadership standard in a way. But like, if you're not on the same par as him, he's not going to have you with him.
You know, I honestly think that's why Rondo's still on the team.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I think he says, okay, I need a veteran point guard who understands his role and can distract the defense enough to distribute the ball. Because we know Rondo's not going to shoot, but he's still good enough to draw attention in terms of dribbling by people to get other people open. So he's still good at that.
Well, that's the reason why Kuzma's on the chopping block. The guy's just not, he's a good scorer. On a bad team, he's a good scorer. But when he gets on a good team and actually playing team basketball, LeBron likes team basketball. He loves that team, especially at his age.
I think he knows what a formula looks like, that a winning formula looks like.
He's one of the smartest guys when it comes to like actually passing the ball and understanding how to like run plays and score in that way. He's like one of the best, you know? He said the winning formula, he understands that. He knows that. And he knows the pieces that he needs to win. You know, he's not going to, he knows he's not young. He's not going to burn out his body and sacrifice his body to win anymore.
Right. Which, I mean,
even though this year, even though, you have to do that.
I mean,
this is not the night. They used to do that back in the day. Kobe Bryant.
But they used to also play less. They would play till they're 33, 34, and they were done because their bodies took a lot. Michael Jordan played.
I don't know about that. Michael Jordan played pretty late and he came back later.
That's what I'm saying. Michael Jordan. But there's, again, you talk about superstars. The difference between the people. And then even if it's not the case, they played at a high level. They were able to come back. If it's not their bodies giving up, it's their quality of their game. It wasn't at the standards anymore.
See, LeBron James, it's weird. If you look at his stat line from his game, like his basketball game, his stat lines, you know what I mean? If you're betting on the, like, if I was betting the Wall Street market or like, you know, the market on LeBron's stat line, you don't win any money because it went up and then it just stays even. You can put this year's stats to when he was like 25. It's like the same freaking stats. It's crazy
he was always hitting high marks to where how much higher can you go? Especially if
he said if I want to average 40 points a game in the season, I can.
Yeah, but you said team basketball. That's my point is how much higher can he go when he starts to understand, okay, 40 points isn't going to get us a win. Look at freaking Houston over there. It needs to be everyone contributes. If that means me putting up 19 and everyone else, we win. And that's mm-hmm. what he's about. He's not about those individual stats anymore because he knows he's put up so much numbers and on any given night he can go off. He's passed Kobe Bryant.
He's honestly a walking 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
Easy. More than 5. I think even more than 5.
I'm saying walking. Like, yeah. Like if I watch like a Laker game or watch the stats line and LeBron has like 24, 5, 5 and it's like, oh shit, he took it easy tonight. Because that's how good he is.
Every time I see less than like 21 points from LeBron, I have to see the highlights. Cause I'm like,
The Lakers either won by 20 or lost by 20.
Yeah,
because he's not playing as much.
Just the era that we're in. Like you said, I remember those. Like remember like the Knicks and Pacers games. Do you remember those? Like even the Utah and Chicago series. Like 88, 92, you know, 97, 95. Like, that's where we were at. And that was high. Well, not high, but that was like average. If you got to like 102, you're like, oh shit, they broke 100. Now, if you don't break 100, it's like, damn, there was some defense. You know, like it's a different mentality.
Well, back in the day, if the dude was averaging like 18 points a game, it was like, damn, this guy can score. Yeah. The dude was averaging like 22 a game. Nowadays, I'm looking at the stat line. I'm like,
but the reason
you got some bums.
Yeah, but the reason
like 18 points a game. I'm like, how are they doing that? You know what I mean? Because back in the day, that would never happen.
Yeah, but the reason that we 18 points off of 13 shots, 12 shots, right?
Yeah.
Now people average 18 points off of like 21 shots, 25 shots. So we're like, damn, these guys are bums. But if you're scoring 20, if you're scoring 18 points off of like 14, 15, 16 shots, that's what they used to do back in the day, and that's efficient. And that's good because on most of these teams, that's all they needed. That's all they needed was them to put up those numbers. Houston, Allen Houston for the Knicks was putting up numbers like that. And they threw the freaking bank at him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was stupid. Same to Latrell Sprewell. They didn't want to pay him, but they paid him high for that 1 or 2 years that he was with them during that journey.
Mm-hmm.
But they threw money at Allen Houston when he wasn't that guy. Organizations do that shit. But they look at purely stats. You need to be efficient. And that's what we used to see back then. There was more efficient basketball. And LeBron, I think he's one of the rare people nowadays. I think Steph and the Golden State Warriors kind of did the same thing. They shoot a lot, but they play a lot of team basketball. And they understand the roles of who's playing, who's going to play the defense, everything. That's why I like Draymond Green. I didn't like him at Michigan State. But the attitude that he carries and how he'll guard anyone and he just wants to be the best all-around player, I can enjoy that. He doesn't care if he scores 0 points, 6 points a game. If he shut you down or he blocked you at the end of the game, that's all he remembers. And that's what I like. And he goes hard on every play.
Golden State, like they're playing free basketball.
Oh, definitely. They're playing basketball.
That's why how the game, like and I mentioned, has grown a lot because you're able to play free basketball. You're able to play 2 point guards at once. You're able to play a guy 6'7" at power four.
Well, they eliminate the center position. That's why.
Well, you're able to play free basketball. Because if they had to play that structured game of basketball the way they played in the 90s, they wouldn't be that good.
Yeah.
They'd be getting D'd up, trying to run plays.
But what do you think the 90s players, like, what do you think that would look like if they played the basketball of today? Like, do you think...
Like, in what era, though? Like, do...
Like,
do,
90s. Like, do you think you'd have more superstars back
do
then?
Do they come... So, does the teams from... today's era go back to the 90s, our team from 90s come to this era.
I don't think a lot of people in this era would have lasted.
In the 90s, No.
Because it was physical, it was a different type of game.
But, you know, would they adjust? Yeah. But if they had no... Say if you had one season, right?
Okay.
So they have no time to adjust and like become like a 90s player. It's like pure strength, pure defense, you know, whatever. And there's one season and they're playing in 90s roles and you take a team like Golden State and you put them in like 1992 when Boston was still good and the Bulls was good and Lakers were good and Detroit was good.
Detroit, yeah.
There's a lot of Eastern Conference teams. I mean, maybe except for the Lakers, but I think they would have got fucking smashed mouth.
Of course, because
you see the Jordan rules. Or one team made up rules that if Jordan was driving the lane, he's getting his head taken off.
But so, okay. And that goes to physicality. If you want to talk about, a team like Golden State, imagine Golden State trying to play in the 90s era. They would get out physically played to where they would change the style of what they play. They shoot, they do all this and that. You'd have teams like, let's say the Jazz, Karl Malone and Stockton would dishing. Karl Malone would just be posting up, getting everyone in foul trouble, where you're trying to figure out what you do. You're having to adjust your game. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's why the teams today wouldn't last back then, because it was more a physical game.
Yeah, Karl Malone, if you put Karl Malone in today's era, he'd be a freak of nature.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you know, Zion part two.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, he was going to stop him going to the basket. He was too athletic, too fast, too strong. And it's, you look at guys like, you know, Mark Price, I believe that's his name. He played for Cleveland. And this is another one of those guys that was like probably like that 90, 50, 40 club. You know, 90% free throw, 50% field goal percentage, 40% from three. There's only a couple guys.
Like, it's a Hall of Fame, yeah. You know, a lot of guys
can accomplish that. And this guy made the All-Star game a couple of years. This guy was a shooter and a point guard. And he made the All-Star game a couple of years for Cleveland. I believe he was creating it early, probably because of injuries or whatnot. But you put that guy in this era, he'll probably do really well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But a guy like J.J. Redick, when he was first in his lead, and he's like, was okay, but wasn't doing too good.
Right.
And then like people are like, I don't think this guy's going to last too long because he's 6'4". He's not a point guard, and all he can do is shoot. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, a guy like Steph Curry came in the lead and like made shooters valuable.
Changed everything, yeah.
And changed the market value on shooters and made this guy a lot of money because he can shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely changed the game for sure. Hold on one sec. Okay. So real quick, since we got to start wrapping up, let's do like a rundown. Like let's try to see if we can do like a top 10 Kobe moments.
Okay.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be in a particular order because it'd be hard to try to come up with one on the spot. But like one right off the bat that I can think of, I'm not even going to say that one. I'll leave that one alone. A month before the Toronto game, he dropped 62 points.
Against the Mavericks.
And the Mavericks team had scored 61 points.
Yeah.
And Kobe alone had 62 points.
Yeah, three
quarters. To me, that's freaking insane. Yeah, it was like 20-something minutes. It was crazy. Do you remember that
thing? Yeah, that's what... You know, there's some. I remember this, and I didn't watch this game live, but I said it was like back in the day when I was younger. Sports Center top 10.
Oh, Sports Center
was like the best. I used to wait for it. I can't wait.
I know.
It's like open up a gift.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
And so, like number one, I remember they show like partial highlights just to tease you, so you could watch the top 10.
Yeah, they show random highlights, and they you don't know which one's like which.
Before, I'm not sure if it was before half or before what quarter ended, but it showed like. I believe it was D. Fish or someone throws the ball down court. It shows Kobe Bryant dribble, go behind his back, and then it stops. And then, like, it's, you know, then the ESPN guy said, oh, Sports Center top 10 is coming up. Everyone wait.
Like, what's he going to do?
What's he going to do? What's he going to do? And so, you know, stayed up late, and 11 o'clock comes, you know, rerun of Sports Center top 10. And then we waited, and, you know, they had the tennis stuff or whatever, other basketball stuff, and here comes number one. And I don't know who was. I think it was Devin George. Got the ball.
Freaking Devin George.
Throws the ball full court for like the buzzer. Halftime. Kobe Bryant catches the ball, takes a dribble, goes behind his back, and does a 360 on one of these Nuggets.
Jeez.
Or maybe he dunked on Devin George. I don't know who he dunked. I don't know. But do you remember that one?
Uh-uh. I don't.
Behind the back 360. You never seen that one?
I don't know if I have.
Oh my goodness. You've never seen that?
I don't think I have. And he dunked it, huh?
Dude, he went up behind the back and did 360. And that was one of like my, you know, I guess favorite Kobe plays. I wouldn't say moment, but it was a favorite play. Watch. I'm
gonna, all right. One of my, while you're looking that up, one of my favorite Kobe moments, obviously was the way he left the game. He gave so much to the game that the last game, I can't remember who they're playing, the Nuggets or something. I think it was the Nuggets. Okay. He drops.
Watch this. Okay, let's see who takes it in. Oh, Horry, maybe. Watch this. Behind the back.
Oh my gosh. 360. No, I didn't see that. No. What team is that? Is that Sacramento?
No, that's the Nuggets. Let me see who took the ball in.
Yeah, it was who threw it? Was it Ori?
I think it was Ori. So actually it wasn't the end of the third quarter. Looks like it was Ori.
Either way, that's pretty good.
30 minutes, there's 3 minutes left. Watch this.
What is this? The dunk?
Yeah. It'll probably do a replay. Watch.
Let me see. Well, there's Shaq. There's Shaq in a uniform. It was Robert Ori. Screw. On who is that? Billups? Yeah, he went behind the back on Chauncey Billups.
Was it Billups?
Yeah, it was before he got traded to Detroit.
Oh, man.
So I think that's who he ended his career with. 60 points in the Staples Center to say goodbye.
Yeah, I remember watching that game.
I did too. I think everyone had to watch that game.
No, well, you know, what's funny is like I was like so busy at the time that you know like I misscheduled everything. And when I was watching that game, I was at the gym at the time.
Right.
The whole gym was stopped and watching the fourth quarter of that game. The whole gym was stopped. Nobody in the gym was actually working out. Everybody was just watching the game. And at the time I was working out at Planet Fitness and they had all the TVs that had lined up on the game and everyone was stopped working out and watching the game. And I remember that moment, man. I like almost like wanted to cry at that moment because it was such an ending to a beautiful career. When you see something start and you're such a fan of it and then like the end of it, you know, and it ends and just being like appreciated to what he gave to the game. And what he did and his legacy. And of course, as fans, you want to win every year. But
and I can,
for this guy to win, you know, 5 and make it to 7 and to be, you know, at 18 All-Star games and win 4 All-Star MVPs, 5-time world champion, 12-time defensive player of the year, 9 first-time defensive player a team, all NBA teams, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. And just like to see his career wrap up and appreciate it and remember being a young guy, being a fan, having an afro because of Kobe Bryant, you know, watching him end his career with that 61 and end it with the go ahead, you know, kind of not the game winner, but to get him up with that shot was just like such a beautiful moment. You know, like that moment was just, I remember the whole gym was just like speechless. And then, like, understanding what a living legend really is.
Yeah. And understanding that this was the, like, deserved way to leave because you gave us greatness and you ended with greatness. Like, because that last season wasn't, like, his best season. So for him to be like, okay, this is it. It has to be it because I'm not the same player. It's crazy because he left money on the table, too. There was another year he had left money on the table. It was more about, like, I'm not the player I expect myself to be. I'm done. And we all kind of knew it because that last year was kind of, you know, he was struggling. He was making shots and everything. But for him to pull it together for one last game.
And it's, to me, that was a true meaning. Like, well, you see like guys, you know, in NFL and guys in NBA say, you know, I give my body to the sport. I give my everything. Yeah. That was a true meaning when he said, I give my body to the sport. Because you see his body, you know, be from like this peak athlete into like this, you know, going on this spiral down just with these injuries. And his last year, he didn't look like the same guy. You know what I mean?
But other
and,
than and that,
it was hard
year,
for me to see him play.
Oh, I know.
But you know what? At the end of the day, he gave 110% and he gave actually his body to the sport. And he ended on the best note that you actually can end on.
At home.
At home, in front of your fans. Being the vintage Kobe, the wine, dude, just being that Kobe Bryant.
Vino, yeah, right? That's the nickname of his,
Vino. Yeah, Vino, just being that guy and giving him that last performance, you know what I mean? And having that beautiful ending. And like I said, the whole gym was even working. We had guys, we had women, different ages, different colors. Everybody was just watching Kobe Bryant's last game. Like, oh, this is Kobe Bryant's last game. Because it got to a point where like, at first it was like 4 people watching, everyone stopped and I went, oh, God, this is the last game. How am I working out right now? I stopped. You know, some girls were like, what's going on? Like, that was like some like world event going on. Like, some like
stopped,
bombing was happening or something like that. But they're like, no, it's Kobe Bryant's last. Oh, Kobe Bryant's retiring. Like, yeah. Like, you know, they start watching it. Everyone's with the whole gym. You know, I wish I took a video of that. The whole gym's watching the game, watching him finish it up. I remember him finishing in that and just being sad about it, but then accepting it.
Yeah. And that's hard because, again, I enjoyed him late in that moment when I was watching, and I knew it was exciting to see the way he was performing, but at the same time, it was like I felt like I should have enjoyed that
mm-hmm.
at an earlier age. I should have enjoyed it the whole time when I could have, instead of just hate it. And so I, like you would, I don't know, you'd hear me. He's like, oh, like Ray would be like, I hate this player. And I'm like, bro, don't like enjoy it. Do you remember mm-hmm. I would always say enjoy it, because we're not going to get these kind of players again. He would always say, I hate Kobe. I'm like, bro, enjoy Kobe. Enjoy yeah. him, man, because he's one of the, like, I put an Instagram thing and I said, I put on there, a human being not like any.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we're all individual, but when you start combining who he was when he came into the league, who he transformed mid-league, the mistakes he made in his life, the way he turned those around, and then the way he was, he just kind of kept evolving. Even when he retired, on to the next. He bought a gym like an hour and a half away from his home, and he did it so he can have Gianna obviously involved in basketball. He coached the team. Mm-hmm. All these other people, he afforded them the opportunities to play, and he was a part of that. So to see the evolution of Kobe Bryant was one of the greatest things, was a special thing that I thought we got to witness. And the fact that it was sad, obviously he was taken at a young age, but I felt like he was just starting to enjoy retirement.
Yeah, no, and he was a real life superhero to a lot.
I agree.
I think, you know, when, you know, I loved him at the younger age when he was like Afro Kobe, and I appreciate it so much when he was 24. There's
so many highlights from that.
There's so much highlight, but I remember when he actually became like Captain America,
mm-hmm.
when he took over and came and said, I'm going to play for the Olympics because we just lost.
Yeah.
And he was like the grandfather of that team. You had LeBron, the young guys. Kobe Bryant would come in and his warm was tucked into his sweatpants. You know what I mean? And you can just see the way that he was moving. And that's the way, you know what I mean? He just brought this like this new generation of like basketball. And he was Captain America for that Redeem team. And you see how LeBron is now. Even All-Star games, he tucks in his jersey, his shirt. Yeah. He got that from Kobe. The older guys do it now. Kobe Bryant led that like, you know, regime of like being like that standard of just like, I don't know, this basketball. And when his what Kobe Bryant left to the game is like bigger than, it's bigger than what Jordan did. I know it's bigger than Jordan because Jordan had an impact. He retired, came back, retired again. He had an impact into people.
But it was not
just Kobe Bryant had impact to a whole generation.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't Michael just Jordan, about what he did. Michael Jordan did his
Michael Jordan is known for his shoes. Kobe Bryant is known for his game. You know, Michael Jordan's his rings. He's, of course, he's known for his game too. But, you know, right now, people rock Jordans and they don't even know what team he played on.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Kobe Bryant, what he left for the game.
But when you start thinking iconic, right? Like you don't see like, and I know these guys are great players like Wilt Chamberlain and Larry Bird and stuff, but they don't sell jerseys. They still sell Michael Jordan jerseys, just like in 20 years, they're still going to be selling Kobe Bryant jerseys. You see what I'm saying? And those are icons. You want to talk about all-stars, superstars. Now we're talking icons. And that's, I think, the level of where Kobe Bryant is. Now, let me ask you the million-dollar question. Two, actually. What did Kobe mean to you?
Everything.
Like growing up. Because I know you're a big Laker fan. You're a big Kobe guy. Like,
no, I was a Kobe Bryant fan.
But that's what, okay.
Yeah, more than like, I didn't like basketball when I was growing up. I thought basketball was for wimps. I used to like football. I just loved this, the way they hit football. I love football. Even the approach and everything, the game planning, being physical and whatnot. I love football. But when Kobe Bryant started playing basketball, I don't know, just something about the guy that attracted me to him.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have an afro because of this guy. This guy had an afro. He was young. He was fly. He played the game. And just being a guy, a young guy without a father, and having Kobe Bryant there, having basketball, having someone to look up to as a young age, it just meant the world to me. You know what I mean? Kobe Bryant was my first hero. Everyone says, oh, your dad's your first hero. He's the first guy you look up to. Kobe Bryant was the first guy I looked up to. the first actual guy I looked up to was Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You know, I took so much passion in how you approach the game, how you play the game. It's everything he did. I was, if he was interviewing TV, this is way before YouTube, you can't rewatch things. Mm-hmm. I would just love to see this guy talk.
Oh, yeah.
Walk and just mimic everything from him. So, like, his impact to me was my childhood growing up and playing sports. And that's why, like, you know, what happened on Sunday, like, hit me so hard. Like, the guy I work with, my associates, had called me and said, you know, like, did you see the news? I was at Walmart. Did you see the news or see what everyone's saying? Like, nah, man, what's going on? He's like, dude, they said Kobe died. I said, what? He said that they said Kobe Bryant died. And I'm like, dude, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. He's like, let me look into it. I'll call you back. And I just remember just being stunned. Like, I was literally in Walmart for about 15 minutes, not moving on my basket, not wanting to check my phone, because knowing that that's probably the reality, that he had passed. And I was at my basket for literally 20 minutes, walking up to like the cash register, you know, just like freaking like holding in my freaking tears, you know what I mean? And she's like trying to talk to me, and I'm like, I can't really just talk. It's like holding the tears that, you know, knowing that it's almost like my childhood was taken away, because he was everything for my childhood. He was basketball. He was someone I looked up to, someone I strived to be like, talk like, walk like, you know. And if I had money, I would buy his clothes and stuff like that. But I just remember just breaking down that day and, you know, after I checked out of Walmart, I left Walmart, I sat in my car for about 20 minutes and just thought, finally got online and saw like Instagram and just seeing people rest in peace. You know, I got to say something, you know. I went on Google and I got a course number 8. That was my favorite Kobe and image Kobe and take a picture, and I was put it on my Instagram. I thought for a second to say something. I just had nothing to say that I didn't want to express that I already expressed to myself and then expressed, you know.
It's hard. Like I was just telling you, it's hard to express a point that's what's serious matter over a text.
Yeah.
And it doesn't give the right context of how you feel or, you know, how important the matter is, you know.
Yeah. And, that's what it was. And literally 20 minutes in my car, you know what I mean? Just like crying on and off, not knowing what was going on. I started driving and I had like some news on and I heard his daughter was there. And that's when my stomach honestly turned and I had people around me pass away. But that's when reality became reality. You know what I mean? Like you just don't see like your icons, your idols just die like that. You know what I mean? So early.
Well, that was the sad part, was that there were so many false rumors that were going out. They said Rick Fox was on it, that no one was on it, and then all his daughters were on it. And it's like, I know you want to be first, but the media has to have a show of respect where they can't just be putting out false information like that. It finally came out, like, you know, that Gigi was on there with him and the other people. But it's hard, you know, because I feel for Vanessa and his parents and the, you know, his other girls, because he just had a girl that went in June, so mm-hmm. not even a year old. Like a dad so young, just getting a chance to enjoy that part of his life, his retirement, whereas he's spending that time with the last time with his family, because mm-hmm. he dedicated a lot of his life and a lot of his time to the game. He was finally going to get that back, and he was doing things, and you could see he was doing it to make sure he spent the time mm-hmm. with him, and then just for something tragic like that to happen. Yeah.
And then I remember going. And, you know, had to go to Santa Fe that evening. I was like, fuck, I need to stop. So I went and got a drink somewhere and I just had my sunglasses on because I was like yeah. freaking bawling, dude, like just crying. And this is the first like celebrity death that like impact. I didn't understand people cry about celebrity deaths until like now. You know what I mean? I don't call Kobe Bryant. I wouldn't say a celebrity because he meant so much more to me than like this is celebrity. Because
you said he was your childhood.
Oh, he was my childhood. This is what I loved. You know what I mean? This is someone I looked up to. He was like, when someone's like that, you feel a lot more closer to him. You know what I mean? Defending him on the years, arguing with your buddies and stuff like that. I had a couple drinks there and I was like, fuck, dude, I need to get back to Santa Fe. And just went to like some sushi place, and I walked in, and this guy was wearing, this random guy, a Laker hat on, a Kobe Bryant jersey, and his wife had a hat on, and we're waiting in line, and we gave each other a hug, and it's a Hispanic dude, essay guy, and he's like, man, I had homies, I died, this hits hard, we start crying, I'm hugging his wife, and we just had this moment, you know what I mean? And I went to this restaurant by myself just to eat, dude, just like, fuck. And I didn't see the impact of, like, you know, what Kobe Bryant did, you know, for a lot of people, different races, different ages, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, it was just, it's tragic, you know, to hear that, you know, he passed away. What hurt me most is the kids, you know, they don't get to, you know, tell their story, live their journey, what they could have been and grown up and experienced things that, you know, Kobe Bryant did and older people have done. Mm-hmm. So I think that hurt me the most. And, you know, just seeing the pictures with him and Gigi and time they're spending, a lot of time together. And she is Kobe Bryant's clone. That's like 100%. Kobe Bryant.
She was going to carry the...
But she's like, she looks just like him. And she has that, you know, just from the interviews I watched, she has that attitude with Kobe too. And she had that eye. And, you know, just...
Yeah, there's a lot of lives lost, a lot of people taken way sooner than they should have been. There's a quote that was on there. All under Kobe Bryant's pictures I posted on Instagram, and I don't think it reigns more true. It says, heroes come and go, but legends are forever. And I think that's exactly what Kobe Bryant's going to be. Like I mentioned, they still sell Michael Jordan jerseys. I still think in 20 years they're going to be selling Laker jerseys. So, you know, I don't know, man. I feel for all the families that were involved and affected by it. You know, Kobe's memory will live on. There's posts saying that we need to continue every time we shoot in the trash, like, you know, Kobe, and that's something that we need to just continue and, you know, just kind of keep his memory going. So, you know, thanks, Corey, for, you know, coming, being open, talking about everything. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we have to wrap up, but, you know, I'm sure we'll have many conversations about it. But,
yeah,
you know, I appreciate you coming on, man. And you know, as time goes on, we'll talk more. If more details get released, we'll talk about that too. But, you know, for right now,
all right, appreciate sounds good. You, man. Until next time.